Blog Talk Radio.
So, Ose, yo, this is L. Ross Smith Day. I'm your host, and you are tuned in tonight to another episode on our Talk Tons of America Network. Tonight's subject will deal with 40 acres and a mule, you know, that whole concept. And I'm going to give a little breakdown of, you know, kind of where that whole concept originated, where it came from, you know, and how is it applied to indigenous people, right? I.e. African Americans, so-called blacks, Negroes, color, Hispanic, Latino, you know what I'm saying? Same page. And as always, with the start of every show, I'd like to thank the Ankh Estes for allowing me to use this platform to get out this information to my people and to the world. Ashe. That being said, got a great show lined up, got a couple articles, and, you know, a PDF, you know, so this info will be available. You know, I can easily give y'all the sources. That way you can go back and review some of the info that I'm going to speak and regurgitate to y'all. And I'll also provide the links in my bio on Instagram, okay? If you want to call in and listen, the number to do so is 713-955-0439. Call in at 713-955-0439. All right. So without further ado, we're going to dive right into it. Now, the origins of the belief that the United States government promised 40 acres of land and a mule to, quote-unquote, free slaves after the Civil War are indefinite. One possible source of this claim is Special Field Order number 15, issued in January 1865 by Union General William Sherman, which set aside a coastal strip of land which covered an area from literally all the way from North Carolina, Charleston, North Carolina, all the way down to Florida. Okay. Jacksonville specifically, for the exclusive use of so-called free slaves, with each free slave family received a 40-acre chunk of land. Okay. So that's one claim that they say where this whole 40 acres and a mule originated from, right? Now let's look at another possible source of the 40 acres and a mule belief, okay? Now, another possible source proof from the creation of the Freedmen's Bureau. Okay, originally the Bureau of Refugees. The Bureau of Refugees, Freedmen and Abandoned Land. Okay. So the Federal Bureau of Refugees became the Freedmen's Bureau. Okay, a federal agency established as a subsidiary of the War Department in March 1865, a month before the end of the Civil War, to deal with issues concerning refugees and freedmen within states under Reconstruction, including the management of abandoned or confiscated property. All right. So they're really giving a lot of information within this few couple of sentences. And as always, my show, I deal heavily, heavily, heavily with etymology. Okay. And for those of you who are not aware, etymology simply means the origin of words. Okay. So the etymology of etymology is the origin of words. We deal with finding out the true meaning of words, okay? So that way we can have a better understanding and comprehension of the language, so that will leave no room for any error or misconceptions, okay, dealing with the English language. Let's refer back to this article where I was reading, where they're referring to so-called blacks and African Americans as refugees, called us refugees. But they call so-called African Americans and blacks refugees. There's another instance in history, okay, where that happened, namely Katrina, when Katrina hit New Orleans, right? They called us refugees. Before I go any further, I want y'all to get the understanding of what is, in fact, a refugee, right? And when I say get a understanding of words, I'm going to give you the actual meaning at law, okay, legal definition, so that way there's no mistake. Now, the legal definition of a refugee, okay, is a person who flees or is expelled from a country. All right. I'm going to read that again. The legal definition of a refugee is a person who flees or is expelled from a country. Why are they calling so-called African Americans and blacks refugees? Right? When they're actually in their own land. Think about that. See, this is where we have to deal with status, you know, your political status, your nationality, right? Your heritage and your identity. Because that's basically where this is all stemming from, where all the madness and the chaos is stemming from. We are in an identity crisis, right? In a state of statelessness, for better words. And so we're going to continue reading on. All right. Going through the article. Now, as I was saying, the Freedmen's Bureau was originally the Bureau of Refugees, which was established as a subsidiary of the War Department. Okay. And one of the provisions of the Freedmen's Bureau Act directed that the Bureau's commissioner should have authorities to set apart for the use of loyal refugees and freedmen such tracts of land within the insurrectionary states as shall have been abandoned or to which the United States shall have acquired title by confiscation or sale, or otherwise to every male citizen, whether refugee or freedman, as aforesaid, there shall be assigned not more than 50 acres of such land. Okay. However, the land was to be leased to freedmen for 3 years, then made available for purchase by them. However, they did not make any mention of mules. Okay. So I want y'all to get that, you know, probably over time, that 40 acres and a mule, somebody, you know, probably add that in there, and a mule. Originally, it was dealing with the land. You can skip the mule, because the mule will automatically come with the land, okay? So we're going to deal with the land, 40 acres of land. As you well know, without the land, you cannot do anything. This is why all these wars are raging against indigenous people over what? Territory, land, okay? Because without the land, you are nobody. Right, because what's connected to the land, the culture and the history, the people. Right? You separate that people from the culture, the history, and the land, then you can control that people and apply titles and brands and all these legal denominations onto them because they don't know who they are. So while we're dealing on this land, I want y'all to, again, understand the importance of words and how you are being tied into certain areas, and specifically in language and in law, and how words play a major role, you know, in the devastation of establishing this whole paradigm, the United States. You have to learn the language so we can understand what is being said to us. Okay, so while we're still upon the subject of land, remember, what did these Europeans and these foreigners come to the land, our land? What were they called? What did we call them? They were called what? Settlers. No, the colonists. They were called settlers. What is a settler? Okay. A settler is a grantor or a donor in a deed of settlement. All right. I'm going to read that again. A settler is a grantor or deed or donor in a deed of settlement. So basically, remember, these people, these foreigners that came onto our land in America are called settlers. And a settler is one who establishes a trust or a right of property, okay? Held or administrated by a trustee for the benefit of another. So they came and settled on our land. See, we have to deal with all aspects of life and law, because this is where our knowledge is lacking. All right. Before I go on, now is the time. Call in if you have any questions or comments. Feel free to call in. You know, we can have a discussion, or you have any comments, the lines are open. Again, if you want to call in, the number to do so is 713-955-0439. Again, the number is 713-955-0439. All righty. And as no one called in, we will continue on. So, it's good to be back. Now, reading from this article again, continuing, President Johnson did not veto the Freedmen's Bureau Act, which was passed by Congress in March 1865 and signed by President Lincoln. Johnson did not assume the presidency until Lincoln's assassination the following month. Okay? So two events occurred in February 1866, both of which have been misstated as overturning the 40 acres provision of the Freedmen's Bureau Act. An amendment to the Freedmen Bureau Bill, also known as the Second Freedmen Bureau Act, proposed by Congressman Thaddeus Stevens to add forfeited estates of the enemy to the land available to blacks, was overwhelmingly defeated in the House of Representatives. At that time, the only group of slaveholders who were compelled to provide their former slaves with land were Indians who sided with the Confederacy. The only group of slaveholders who were compelled to provide their former slaves with land were Indians who sided with the Confederacy. Think about that. They teach you in school is the North against the South, the South slave state. They want to keep all the blacks and the African Americans in slavery and in chains, picking cotton. Then up north, that's where all the Quakers and all the good white folks live, and they want to free all of the black slaves, right? See, but when you go into history and read the actual facts, you'll find that is not the case at all. It's like reading this simple paragraph saying the only group of slaveholders who were compelled to provide their former slaves with land were Indians who sided with the Confederacy. Now, let's continue reading. The Southern Homestead Act of 1866 did land in five southern states available to free blacks, but only public land, not plantations or other property confiscated from former slaveholders. Unfortunately, most of the land still available in the South for homesteading was too swampy, too far away from transportation links to be of much good to freedmen. And even when the largest portion of this inferior land was claimed by whites, opted for quick resale to lumber companies. Although the notion of a black inheritance tax fund has long been debunked and disclaimed, it nonetheless lives on and continues to cause headaches to the IRS and taxpayers alike. Okay, so what I just finished reading from is an article entitled Black Tax Credit. Okay. again, article is Black Tax Credit on Snopes.com. I got another article that I want to read from. Try to fit in this time frame. I have about 5 minutes left. Since we're still dealing with land, and we want to know what is the reality of what actually happened. Because by now, I hope everyone is aware of everything that you have been taught in school is a lie. Everything that you know or you think you know is a lie. And all of that, we have to unlearn and relearn so we can empty our cup, fill our cup back up. Right now it's filled with garbage. We got to empty out that garbage and fill it with fruits and vegetables, in a sense. Okay? Now, dealing with land. There were three ways to acquire land in the pioneer days. In the beginning, some preempted land, which, if I understand correctly, was an outright purchase, a contract purchase by definition. Preemption, as in preempted land, is the right of purchasing before others, especially the right given by the government to the actual settler upon the tract of public land. The second way to acquire land was to file a claim. There was probably a fee for registration. At any rate, the claim had to show evidence of improvement, such as a building built or land cleared, and it had to be occupied. Some who filed claims hired others to occupy the land until they were able to. But that was, again, just another little paragraph I read out of an article titled Ancestry Roots Web on RootsWeb.com. Ancestry on RootsWeb.com. Okay, what is a town? Just seeing land. Now, I got a few minutes remaining in the show. See if we can get any callers in. The lines are open. Let's see here. Got one caller. Last four digits ending in 405. You have a question or comment? Last four digits ending in 4405, you have a question or comment for me? All right, that looks like the call just dropped. Again, there's a few minutes remaining in the show. Feel free to call in. Call in number is 713-955-0439. Again, the number to call in is 713-393-9. All right, got about 90 seconds remaining in the show. So I'm going to go ahead and bring it to a close to another episode of Tons of America Network, 40 Acres and a Mule, the breakdown with L. Ross Smith Bay. Tomorrow night I will be on again at 10 o'clock p.m. Central Time Zone for more information. You can go to our Talk Tons of America on Facebook. That being said, your identity is your most valuable possession, because without it, you are no one. Halito.
What else? Thank you.